Today we are starting a new book, the book of Philemon. It's only one book, and we are going to study that book today. Book of Philemon, chapter 1, verse 1.
Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now here, St. Paul is greeting to the Philemon and writing him a special letter. Now we don't know much about Philemon, but we can guess it from this book that he is a businessman. Maybe he has a company. Maybe he has a shop. Maybe he has servants. Maybe he's a rich man. And so one of his servants did something wrong to him. I don't know he stole the money. I don't know he deceived him or did something wrong in his business. We don't know. But that man somehow went to prison. And now St. Paul is writing to this Philemon, telling him about this person who St. Paul met in the prison. So now he is giving greetings. He is saying, I'm a prisoner. Paul also is a prisoner, but he says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So he says, I am in the prison, not because I did something wrong, not because I did something to somebody, but I was just preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the reason I am in the prison. And then he's saying, giving some people's name, there are some fellow workers, some of the soldiers of the Lord, and he says, all of those people are giving greetings to you. That some people are just the believers, followers of Christ. And some believers are the soldier of Christ. Now the ordinary believers and soldiers is two different things. Soldiers, they fight. And our fight is not with the government. Our fight is not with the people. Our fight is with the demonic forces. So if you are a believer, just don't be a believer. Be a soldier of Christ. And then he says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, always peace comes from Christ. Christ is called the Prince of Peace. And how the peace came? Because Father sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Why? Because the man was enemy to God. When man rebelled against God and committed sin, and he joined to the armies of devil. Once you go to the devil's side, then you are enemy to God. When we were enemy to God, we were far away from God. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross of Calvary, broke the middle wall of partition, and made us one in God. That's why he says, God the Father, who started this program of peace. But without Jesus Christ, we do not have peace. The Word of God says in St. John chapter 1, verse 17, the law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there is no peace. Without Jesus, there is no grace and no mercy. So we should be thanking God that sending His Son for us. Let's go to the verse 4.
I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers.
Now he's saying, I thank God. For whom? He's thanking for Philemon. He's thanking what Philemon is doing. Now, Paul is writing to Philemon, and he has something in his mind, but he's not saying right away. He is trying to say something good about Philemon. Now, just think that you have some brother or somebody, and you want something to be done by that man. You just say, could you do this for me? That man might hesitate to do something for you. But if you start saying, you are a good brother, you are a born-again child of God, and the born-again children of God do good things, and praise him and say something good about that person, he will pay attention and do something good. That's why St. Paul is putting the foundation. He is trying to say, I am mentioning your name in my prayer every day. So he is saying, I am praying for you in my prayer. How many pastors can say this? I am praying for my believers. Pastors do not have time. Some of the pastors do not know their believers' name. And so it is very difficult for them to pray. What we do, we pray for every believer every day in our prayers. And not only that, when we have Bible study, we pray for one another. So the St. Paul is saying, I mention your name in my prayer always. So we can learn something from Paul and pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't know their name, when you come to church, shake hands with them and say, my name is Pastor Peter, what's yours? And try to have some kind of communication. Some people, when the church is finished, they are ready to get out. That's okay, because I tell these people, if you really want to go home soon, I dismiss the service and then let them go. And the people who can stay here for prayer and praying for other people, we start another service. Means we dismiss one service and start the healing service. The point I'm making, take some time. Just like we give tithes to God, you give your time to God. When you spend time with God, God will extend your time. And God will bless you whatever you do. Sometimes people get frustrated. Some of the job is not done. And simple thing, you know, if you are a mechanic, or if you are a doctor, or if you are some kind of worker, and you have to finish some job, and you get frustrated. And simple job take you maybe 4 or 5 hours to figure it out. But if you spending your time with Jesus, spending your time to go to church, he will help you in your job. Whatever you do, he will help you. Because God wants you to be blessed. That's what the word of God is saying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. So God wants us to be helpful, but we should be doing what? We should be praying for others. We should be thinking about others. Not like me, 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 me. And you pray for them and their needs. Verse 5.
Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints.
Now he is again saying, I heard about your faith and your love towards God and towards all the saints of God. This is a great thing. There are people, they can love God, but they can hate his brother. There are people, they say, I love God, I want to go to church, I want to serve the Lord, and but at the same time, they can fight with his wife or children, and maybe some kind of problem, and they go to church thinking they didn't do anything. Just like if you remember, the cat drinks the milk. What she does? After drinking, she cleans her mouth. She doesn't want to know anybody that I drank the milk. And that's the way some Christians are. They do something wrong there, and they come to church, three-piece suit, Bible in their hand, praise God and glorify God, but their life is not good outside the church. But St. Paul is saying about this man, I heard about you. I heard about your faith. And not only faith towards Jesus Christ, but I heard your faith and love towards the saints of God. That's very important. People go to church and sit in the church, and at the same time, they hate the person sits beside them. If they don't like that person, they change the seat and go and sit somewhere else. Nothing wrong with that, but don't hate your brother. Love your brother. Sometimes he may not have good clothes. Sometimes his clothes might be smelly. Sometimes he didn't take a bath for 7 weeks. Don't worry. You just meet that person and say, "Brother, I can help you." We are all people coming to one place with a different language, different colors, different nationality. So learn one thing from me right now. And I'm telling each and every believer how to do it. If somebody comes to our church, don't ask them what language you speak. Let them tell you. You don't ask them. And if you're asking them what language you speak, "Oh, I speak Spanish." Uh-oh. There is a Spanish church. A very good church. Why don't you go there? Or somebody says, "I'm from Jamaica." "Oh, I saw a Jamaican church right across the street. Why don't you go to that church?" That is not the way to tell our people who comes to our church. God sending them here, they came with a purpose. So we should hug them. We should shake hands with them. We should say, "Sir, sister, ma'am, how can I help you? What kind of need you have?" And that's the way we have to love your neighbors and your friends and your brothers and sisters. And so if somebody starts saying, "You know what? You speak Spanish, go to Spanish church. You speak Portuguese, go to Portuguese church. You speak African language, go to that church." Then International Christian Fellowship for nothing. International Christian Fellowship means we want international people. We want people coming, Japanese people we want. We want Chinese people coming. We want Korean people coming. We want all kinds of people coming. And we are here to show them we love everyone. I started a church in one area. And when I started a church and I started a radio program in that area, and all kinds of people start coming. And in that area, the first time black brothers and sisters start coming. And one person said, "Uh-oh, you cannot bring these people here because we don't want those people coming to this neighborhood." I said, "Sir, did you read in the Bible?" This is a Christian man telling me. I said, "Did you read in the Bible? John chapter 3 verse 16, what it says? God so loved the world so that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Did God love only America? No. Did he love only Europe? No. He loved the whole wide world. And I said, "I am the servant of God." So he loved me, so I can love anyone. What did they do? They set the fire to my church. And the church burned down. But the point I'm making, our God is still alive, and I am still alive, and I am doing the Lord's work, not only in Philadelphia, around the world. And so the gospel is preached everywhere. So what the word of God is saying, "I heard about your love. I heard about your faith towards Jesus Christ and towards all saints of God." That's what we have to learn. We have to love everyone. It is not easy to love your own brother and own sister and own cousins and things like that. Your own family, you hate each other in your own house. How can you love somebody else? But this is the training ground. Here we come to love one another. Okay. Verse 6.
"That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus."
Now he's saying, your faith, your love is gone abroad everywhere. Everybody's talking about you. Is that a Christian brother or sister that everybody talks about this man? Did you see this brother? He's a born-again child of God. He helps everyone. He gives right to somebody. He goes out of his way. He feeds the hungry. He visited the widows. And this man is a businessman. But he gives money to the poor people. And help them. So he said, your name, your work is spread everywhere. Wherever I go, they talk about you. So point he's making, Philemon, you are a great man. There are some people, they are born again believers for 50, 70 years. But they never tell their neighbor they are Christian. They never invite anyone to their church. And so nobody knows that person is born again. There is a one man made to the D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody start telling him about Jesus Christ. And this man got saved. And he said to D.L. Moody, my neighbor is a pastor. He never talked to me about Jesus. So point I'm making, wherever you go, tell them about Jesus. I went to one place. And there I saw a lady, 95 years old, serving the Christian family when she was maybe 20 years old or so. So she served this family for years and years. Many pastors came to her house, and that poor lady will sit there and listen to the messages. But not a single pastor, not a single house member said to the lady, you should give your heart to Jesus Christ. When I went to the first time and that lady was sitting on the floor and everybody sitting on the chair, I went to that sister, old lady, 95 years old. I say, mother, God gave me the language of that mother. I talked to her in her own language. I said, mother, do you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She said, I listened so many years. I said, did you invite Jesus Christ into your heart? She said, no, nobody told me. I said, today is your day. Ask forgiveness for all your sins from your childhood until today. And receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And she did. And she said, I want to be baptized. And she was baptized. The point I'm making, this many years, that lady sat in their house, but not a single member of the house was able to communicate with her about Jesus Christ. How sad. So the point St. Paul is making, you are doing great job. Wherever you go, tell people about Jesus. Wherever you go, you explain what faith is all about. And I learn about you. And he is proud about this man. Okay, verse 7.
For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother.
See, again he is saying, you know what? This gives me great joy, what you're doing. Not only me, but all the brothers and sisters and whoever I meet. They're thinking so much and their heart is bubbling with the joy for your ministry, whatever you're doing. Can you imagine? This man is a businessman. I don't know he has a factory. I don't know he has a shop. I don't know what he has. But he finds the time to do the Lord's work. We are always busy. Talk to housewife. They say, oh, I was cooking and I was doing this and changing the diaper and all of these things and I don't have time. Talk to the businessman. He will say the same thing. No one has time to tell somebody about Jesus. Why we are here? We are here to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Each and every person should be doing what Philemon is doing. He's not a pastor. He's an ordinary man. Verse 8.
Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Now he wants to say something to this Philemon. See how much time he took? And now he's saying, I want to say something, but I'm not telling you with the power and authority. He's saying he's the chief pastor. He's apostle. And Philemon got saved through Paul's ministry. Maybe he wanted to start a business and Paul helped him financially. We don't know. Or maybe he was dying and Paul saved his life and gave the message of Christ. So much he did for this Philemon. But he's saying, you know what? I can tell you with authority. I can tell you with the power that God has given to me. But I'm not using the authority. I'm not using my power. But I am just requesting you. And again he said, listen, I am a prisoner. I am an old man. This is like my last wish. He's trying to say, I have something to tell you. I'm a prisoner. I'm old. I have authority, but I'm not using it. I want to tell you something. Let's go to verse 10.
I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me.
Right. Now he's saying, I'm talking to you about one child. I gave birth to him in prison. Now somebody says, how can the man give birth to the child? His spiritual son. Many people, as I said, they don't have time to listen to the word of God. And sometimes they go to jail, a prison. Then they have nothing to do but listen. And many, many people get saved in prison. And now some of them are serving the Lord and bringing prisoners to Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I went to prison and here I found the young man. And he found out why he's in jail. And all of a sudden he said, okay, Philemon was my boss and now I'm in a prison. He said, okay, do you know who Philemon is? He's my child too. And I know Philemon. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to write him a letter. And I want you to go back, ask forgiveness to your boss, and maybe be helpful to him. So the Paul's saying, you know what? I could keep this man with me. He's helpful to me. He can help me in the prison. He's a young man, strong man, but I'm not selfish. I want this man to go back to you. He will be not your servant, but he will be your brother in Christ. So he says, don't treat him like a slave anymore. Now he's a born-again child of God, and he is my brother, my child in the Lord, and I'm sending to you. I could keep him with me. He can be helpful to me, but I'm sending to you. So Paul is saying, I am doing some sacrifice for your sake and sending him back to you. Now somebody would say, why he's sending back to him? Because he wants relationship, good relationship with a servant and a master. When you are born again, child of God, and you're working for your master, even though he is a master, but he is a believer in the church. He's your brother. But when you go to work, you salute him because he's a boss. So St. Paul is saying, I'm sending this a servant of God, a child of God who worked with you, but something wrong happened. But I am going to send to you so he will be profitable and you will be blessed through this man. Verse 12.
Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly.
So he says, I could have kept him with me, but I want him to come and help you in your business so you can make some profit. Now he's not servant, he's a partner. He's a believer. You can trust him. Now millions of dollars coming and going, he will not steal a penny. He is a good man. And I'm sending to you, so he will be very useful in your business, because he's not only doing a business, but he will be preaching the gospel. Because I found him born again, child of God. And so he says, when I'm telling you this, I'm telling this from my heart. I'm not just saying by words. This is my heart, and I want you to respect him. Verse 14.
But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly.
So he said, I don't want to force you. I don't want to tell you, even though you don't want him, take it anyhow. Not by force. I want you to think about, really, do you need this man? If you really need it, you use it. I'm not forcing you. Some people say, oh, I don't need it because when he left, I hired somebody else. And there is no vacancy now. I cannot keep him. He said, don't tell me that. He'll be useful. Take him. He's a partner. He's a good brother. He can be useful for you. The one man came here to do the work for us. And I said, how many people are working for you? He said, some people are working for me, but they are not Christian. I said, sir, you cannot keep people like that. You keep born-again Christian people in your business and see how your business is blessed. And some of the people got saved, and now he is much more blessed than before. And once you are a believer, you have the mind of Christ, you have the wisdom of God, and you are smarter. The word of God says, whoever wins souls, that person is wise. So you need a person who wins souls, talks about God, talks about Jesus. Hire that person. That's what he's trying to say. Okay, verse 15.
For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever.
Now he's saying, because he went to jail, he left you for a while. But I am sending him back to you, so you can keep him forever. Now he's not going to do the things he did before. Now some people do not trust the prisoners. The people go to prison and come back. They don't trust them. They don't want in their neighborhood. They don't want any close to children or somebody like that. But if you start doing like that, they will never be good citizens. They will be always bad and do bad things and go. But somebody goes to prison, change his mind, come to church, you should love him as a brother. We have to welcome the people who were in the prison and who wants to change. But if that person doesn't want to change and he comes to steal, I say goodbye. You don't want to change, there is a door. But if you want to change, we are here to help you. Okay, let's read verse 16.
Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord.
Now again he's saying, this brother I'm sending to you is good to me. I can keep with me, but I'm going to send it to you so you can get profit in the flesh and the spirit. One in flesh. Flesh means he's working for you. He's doing something for you. And he will be spiritual help also. See, we learned in the Bible study last week, Naaman was a leper. But in his house, there was a Jewish girl. And she told the Naaman, there is a prophet in my country. If you go to my country, you will be healed. Can you imagine that little girl had so much courage to tell the boss, go to my land, you will be healed. And just think, if she had a doubt, if I tell him to go there, if he doesn't get healed, and if he come here, he will kill me. But she had faith. If I send this man there, surely God will heal him. So the point I'm making, you might be working for a big boss, or you're working for somebody else. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about goodness, what God has done for me. Yesterday, one businessman came to see me in that old church. When he came, I started telling him so much miracles and so many things what God is doing for me. He said, let me tell you one miracle what God did for me. And he said, I was standing near my curb, and I opened my car and I want to take something out of my car. And the snow was piled up. One truck came so fast, hit my truck. My truck went 2 blocks in a snow. And the man who hit me, he got injured. So they called the ambulance. And they trying to take care of that man. But he said, nobody cared about me where I was. But somebody saw the blood trail. And they came and saw him and picked him up. He says, I was completely, totally finished from head to toe. He was explaining. I don't have time to explain. Someday he will come and testify. But he was completely in a cast, body cast. And he said, I was just saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he says, I was not even saved at that time. My life was not good, but I knew Jesus is the answer. And he said, I was in body cast, and somehow nobody on the room, and somebody pushed him by power, and he fell on the ground on his face. And he says, when I fell on the ground, thought I'm finished now because I'm already half dead. And when he fell there, something happened. All his joints, all his points completely fit together, just like a doctor did something. And he was completely healed by the power of God. Today he said, look at my face. My nose was broken, my everything. He said, do you see any mark? No. Everything disappeared. No surgery, nothing, nothing you can see on his face. Completely healed. How it happens? Because God did a miracle. Today he's a businessman, but he's a born-again Christian. So point I'm making, when you are a born-again child of God, you are useful to God and anyone comes to your contact. That's what you should be doing. Okay, verse 17.
If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself.
Now again he's saying, listen, this is just the letter. At that time, if there was a cell phone or some kind of communication, he would be talking to him. But he's writing a letter and still convincing this man. Listen what he's saying. If you keep this man, and if he's stolen something, or if you lost something, you know what? Keep it on my account. Because if you did something, you took something, let's read the verse 18 and then you will know.
If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account.
Now he says, you are my partner. And now, this brother is my child. And I'm giving you to you. And now if you are my partner, then this brother I'm sending to you, if he did something wrong, if he stolen your money or something, put it in my account. Now somebody says, this man is a prisoner. Where he got the money? How he going to pay me money? But do you know, if somebody got saved through my ministry, that person is always will be helpful to me in the ministry. He might be sending his tithes and offerings to me, or he will giving some money to me. And there are so many people, when I was in India, if somebody needs some money to do something, I would give them money. How much you want to do is start a business. Whatever I have, I say, okay, start your business. Here is $100, here is $200, here is $5. If somebody comes, he say, you know, I can do shoe shining. Okay, how much you need? $10 or $15, one stand, some bottles and brush. Go ahead, take it. One person was working in our house. Today, that man has his own trucking company. Now, just think how, if that trucking company that man has, and if I meet him, and if he recognize me, he will say, hey, we were working for you for $10. Look at this now, how God blessed me. The point I'm making, St. Paul is saying to this Philemon, Philemon, look when you got saved, how much I helped you, how much you became my partner. And now I'm sending this person to you, and if you don't want to take him, and you want some money from him, he cannot pay you anything because he was in prison, but put it in my account. I will pay you. Okay, verse 19.
I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides.
See, again he's saying, somebody should not say, this is not Paul's handwriting. Or this is not written by Paul and somebody is trying to cheat you. This is my own handwriting. I'm writing my own letter. And I'm telling you, I will repay. So, whatever he owes to you, you put it in my account and I will pay you every penny. So he's trying to say, don't find any excuse. Take this man and work with him. Verse 20.
Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say.
See, this is called faith. Paul do not have any doubt that this man, Philemon, will reject. He's saying, listen, let me remind you, when you got saved, I saved your life. When you start business, I'm your partner. I help you a lot. Now, I'm not asking too much for me. I'm asking for this brother. And you can help him. And he will help you. And so he said, now, I have the confidence. So I'm writing to you, knowing that you will not just hire him back, but you will do more than that. I have a confidence. I believe that you're going to do it. That means you're not going to reject my letter. You're not going to say, no, what I'm doing. You will be doing great. Verse 22.
But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you.
Now he's saying, if you just don't believe that this is my letter, I am coming. I'm sending this man to you, but at the same time, I want to come and visit you. So prepare a room for me. I'm coming in person to meet you. Now just think that Paul is his pastor and Paul helped him, and now he's sending this Onesimus, a brother in the Lord, to go back to Philemon. He said, I'm coming and prepare a place for me. What does that mean? He cannot say, okay, I'll keep him and never keep him. He said, I'm coming to see if you really kept him. And so, point I'm making, Paul has so much love for this young man, and he wants this young man to grow. Maybe in the Lord, maybe in the business, and maybe helpful to the ministry. When I saw this man yesterday, and I said, what you want me to pray? This businessman. And he said, pray for me this and this. And I prayed for him, and I said, sir, be my partner in the Lord. I'm spreading the gospel around the world. And there are ministers waiting for me, asking $100 per month. Not only one or two or three. I want thousands of ministers to be helped and so many churches to be built. He says, I will be your partner. So point I'm making, if this man keeps his word and he starts doing business, he'll be helpful in the ministry. Now, there is a one lady talked to me and said, Pastor Peter, you're always helping me and always praying for me. I want to give you good news. I said, what is it? They found oil in my land and I signed the paper so they can drill. If I get some money, you are the first one to get it. So praise God, send me some couple of $1 million so we can do some more of the Lord's work. So the point I'm making, St. Paul is saying, you know what? I'm coming. I want to see the proof. You kept him. You helped him. And you're going to help me prepare the place for me. This chapter is almost finished. Let's read the following three verses.
There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Now he's saying, not only I'm greeting you, all these brothers and sisters thinking about you, praying for you, and greetings you. And then he finally said, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So once you are born again, child of God, your spirit tunes with God and understand that you are what you are today only by the grace of God. There is nothing to brag about that I am a somebody. Even though you can be a president or king, but in the sight of God, you are nobody. Each and every person, a beggar or a king, if they are born again children of God, they are all the same to God. So the word of God says, think about the grace of God. Always put in your spirit, I am born again by the grace of God, not because I am rich, not because I am smart, not because I am wealthy. This is all the grace of God, what I am. So don't forget that you got saved, not because you are smart, because of grace of God. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You called us with a definite high calling. You saved us. You healed us. You delivered us. You supplied all our needs. And we are here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people dying without God and without Christ. It is our duty to tell them what God has done for us. Give each and every one a living witness to tell their neighbor, come to church, receive Jesus Christ. We are here to help you and bring many souls to the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, you are coming very soon. Prepare us, O Lord, for thine soon coming. And give us grace to prepare others for your soon coming. We commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.